Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
What do girls want anyway? Well, apparently not total losers. We're pretty good at basketball. Yeah, as long as we don't have to run or jump or dribble or nothing.
Isaac Robb.
Hey, you guys up for a little game?
Sure.
Well, let's make it interesting. Say $20.
How about 50?
You're on.
Jason Sukanik.
Dude, we don't have $50. We don't have 20.
This is Primetime on the Fan Sports Network.
What the hell's up with that? We win, and they get the chips. That sucks, dude.
105.1 and 1080.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's jobs. We gotta get jobs. Then we get the khakis. Then we get the chicks.
The Fan.
Ahoy! Happy rainy Wednesday to you. Another Ropless edition. May or may not have been deported. We don't know. We think he got the hood put on him. He was over there ice protesting, we believe. And now, who knows at this point? Maybe he got sucked up by one of those Black Hawk helicopters.
You know what I was thinking? Isn't Molly Two Poops a Mexican street dog?
She is a Mexican street
Maybe
dog.
Maybe they were deporting her, and he's on some like Valiant Taken-style mission to go get her back.
Wouldn't that be something? Rob has a certain set of skills.
Well, that's, I mean,
that
it would be more important to him than protest, you know, just getting the dog back.
She's a Mexican street dog.
Yeah.
I don't know if Molly has papers. Is it possible that Molly Tengiz, formerly known with aliases, by the way, she was Molly Two Poops. Now she's Molly Tengiz. And just like, we don't know where she came from, somewhere south of the border.
So he's turned into Rop Wick and he's just trying to get her back.
How about that? Someone saying Rop and Abu Ghraib. It's possible. At this point, no one knows. And we got Black Hawk helicopters flying around the South Waterfront. Rop's vanishing. All of a sudden, we got Mexican street dogs. Who knows what's happening? Yet somehow, we press on. Although, dude, I canceled the old, I had a golf game this morning.
Uh-huh.
I canceled it because I saw the radar.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to deal with that. And then, like, it was fine. Like, when I we were going to play at, like, 9:30, mm-hmm. and I was like, no, I'm not dealing with that. So 9:30 rolls around, nothing. 10, like, a little bit of a light sprinkle. Like, 10:15, oh, my God. The skies open up and just God was angry.
Yeah.
And just an absolute just pea storm of rain.
Yeah.
Thundering down.
I made the mistake this morning. I always take the kids to their preschool in the morning and it was gray but clear. And yeah. So, we take them with jackets every day, but Dad made the mistake of not having a jacket. And getting both kids out of the car and into the daycare can be a bit of an ordeal with backpacks and jackets and things like that. And one of them is just toddling around. And so the kids were well-equipped. Dad was soaked by the time drop-off was done.
Yeah, dude, it's kind of bananas out there today. Like, I thought the rain was coming. I didn't know it was coming like that. It was one of those where, like, when I was driving to work, the wipers, this is like when I was coming from Clackamas, coming over. So like 1:30, the wipers are having a hard time keeping up with the rain. It like everything was slowed down, not necessarily because of traffic. You just couldn't see. And I was like, there's my Pacific Northwest. We had such a mild weather seemingly for like the last whatever it was, you know, 10 months.
I would say we did have a really good run there.
Yeah, we had a great run.
And this might even be the false fall and we'll get some Indian summer days and weeks mid-October at some point, but the rain's probably here.
Well, I think it's supposed to dry out a little bit this weekend.
Yeah, it usually does.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we weathered the storm now, which is fine because we got plenty of day baseball. So watch a little day baseball, right? Get some football going, get a little Thursday night football, move your way into the weekend, and by the time the weekend, you can have your golf game then. I did have a panicked moment this morning where I woke up and the BTJ leaves for work before I do.
Okay.
So, like, if you ever one of those, like, where your wife leaves early, you're like, sure. You're vaguely aware of her presence.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of one of those, like, you hear her in the bathroom or whatever, or maybe she, like, gives you a kiss on the cheek, but you're not really paying attention.
Yeah.
You're kind of in like a half, like, sleep world.
Yeah, I mean, that was our world for about 3 years when I was leaving the house at about 5 a.m. to go produce the morning show. It's like, yeah, I'm getting out of here. She's still kind of in bed, vaguely aware of what's happening.
Yeah. So eventually, like, I wake up, I check the old weather report, I call my buddy, and we cancel the golf game. Like, hey, it's not happening.
Yeah.
And then I turn my attention to, like, oh, it's not really raining yet, I'll walk the dog. I always walk the dog.
Yeah.
Can't find the dog. Wake Ooh. Up, no dog.
He's okay.
He's just gone. And I was like.
And you usually sleep with the door open because he can goes in and out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a sliding patio door on the bedroom, and he normally just lays outside. And so I like, and at some point in the morning, if you don't wake up with him, he'll just come and, like, stand on you. And.
Hey, buddy, it's time.
Yeah. And unlike Molly 2Gs or Molly 10Gs, the Mexican street dog, you can't miss Ka. He's a 160-pound Akita.
Yeah.
He's roughly the size of a barn. So, like, I get dressed, I throw on some pants, I tell my buddy, I'm like, hey, man, not playing golf today. He calls me a weenie, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm not golfing in the rain.
I can handle some golf in the rain, but if I know that it's going to rain for the duration of my round, I would rather reschedule.
Yeah, I just, there's a point in time where I like playing golf, but for my buddy, it's like his deal. Like,
yeah.
He plays every day.
You and I are not like that.
No. I don't. I just.
We like doing it.
I enjoy golf.
Yeah.
To an extent. Like, I enjoy the Ryder Cup. You know what I don't enjoy? The Honda Classic. I'll watch the Masters. What I won't watch is the Genesis.
The Zozo Championship?
No. Like, you know, Joe Isuzu, the Joe Isuzu Invitational. No, we're not doing that. And so if it is cold and wet. Or really, if it's one of the other. I'm not playing golf. So when I hung up with him, I just instinctually, like, I got dressed, threw on the pants, threw on a sweatshirt, and I glanced outside, and there was no dog. And I was like, he's downstairs. So I go downstairs.
Still no dog.
Yeah, no dog.
Okay.
And I'm kind of like, huh. So I was like, well, maybe she let him out in the morning and like, shut him outside. So now I go into the backyard, and I'm hollering for him. Can't find him. Sometimes he's, like, hanging out in the corners of the yard, like, behind the murder shed.
Okay.
He'll have, like, a dead bunny or something.
Yeah, he's exploring. He's prowling his land.
So now I'm exploring. It's, like, 7:30 in the morning. I'm now poking around behind the murder sheds, which God knows what's back there. I'm just, like, on this exploratory mission. Can't find him. And so now I'm like.
It starts to be not that funny at that point. You're like, do I have to go find my dog somewhere? What happened?
Yeah, and now I'm examining. The front door was shut. All right, so he didn't get out.
Checking gates,
checking gates, like nothing. He can't dig out from under a fence.
Right,
he could knock over the fence, but I'm like, no.
Intact.
Oh yeah, I looked and I'm like, because he has shoved a fence down before trying to get to a raccoon.
Of course he has.
He once shoved over an entire section. He caved in an entire section of fence because there's a tree.
Very much like the Beast in Sandlot.
Yeah. And no, fence is secure. So now I'm back inside. And so now I'm like, well, did he get shut into a laundry room or something? Check that. Bedrooms, nothing. Nowhere to be found. The panic button has officially set in.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? The damn dog. And so then, of course, I called the BTJ. No answer. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And eventually I get a hold of her. And for like, there was like
what
a 9-minute window
going on?
Where I was in a full panic mode. But he goes to daycare, and this is the other one I had to check. He goes to daycare on Thursdays just to play.
Okay.
Believe me, I had to check the calendar. It's not Thursday. and so eventually I got a hold of the BTJ, and she was like, oh, yeah, I changed days today, and I took him on Wednesday. I forgot to tell you. I'm like, thanks for the heart attack.
Jeez.
Yeah, I had a whole, you mentioned Taken, and that's what I thought of.
Yeah.
When you mentioned like the John Wick Taken thing, that's what it made me think of.
Somebody has Ka.
Yeah, for a brief moment, I was like, am I going to have to go, like, I literally had the thought of, did someone like break into my yard? Did someone like open the gate and just lure him out with like a stuffed animal and a T-bone steak? Because we do get a lot of attention. Like when we walk around the neighborhood, we get stopped a lot.
Okay.
And people are always like, what kind of dog is that? Mm-hmm. And people are always drawn to him. I literally had like a brief moment where I'm like, the only explanation is he's been kidnapped. My dog has been kidnapped now. And then like, who do you call when your dog's been kidnapped? Like that,
I
don't know.
The police, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to be at the top of their priority list.
Yeah, probably not.
So it's it would be nice.
Now, do they have, do the police have a whole, like, missing persons 48-hour rule? They're like, oh, your dog will probably come back home. We can't do anything until a certain point of time.
Well, that was kind of my whole thing was, like, there's really no repercussion. Like, there's no one to call because they would be like, well, do you know where he's at? No. When's the last time you saw him? I don't know. Last night at about 11:30? I don't know. Was he there in the morning? Couldn't tell you. I'm like, was there any door? Like, I had no answers.
Was anyone else in the house with you, Mr. Sakanik?
Yeah, it's just, it's a very, I haven't had that feeling in a long, long time where nothing makes sense.
Yeah.
Literally, like, because, like, you check the garage, like, you start checking every place, and you're like, how do you misplace a giant dog?
Right. It's not like your car keys.
No.
Not that you have keys anymore.
Because that's maddening. When you misplace something, that is frustrating enough. But when you misplace something that under no circumstances you should be able to misplace,
yeah,
that is, it's kind of an alarming thing.
I did that last Thursday with my wallet, and it was like hours before I was leaving on my golf trip. I'm like, this is not the time for that. I had left it behind on one of my errands, like at the counter. And I had to like go retrace my steps. It took 40 minutes out of my day and figured it out. But yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah. We had that once with, I had a car lease a couple years ago, and I just had the one key. I never went and picked up the second key, and it was to like a Ford Mustang or whatever, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And I looked around for like an hour. I ended up having to go to the dealership and be like, hey, get the other key or whatever. And we eventually found it. The dog had buried it. Caw digs holes. Yeah.
He
digs little holes, and then like he puts stuffed animals and stuff in there.
That's like something from a sitcom. Like dogs don't bury keys. They bury their toys and stuff.
Yeah. And it was like on a little like leather key fob or whatever. And he came back in. This was like a week later. He came back. Yeah. Like he had it in his mouth, and then we saw it, and then he went running outside and he dropped it in one of his holes. And you're like, oh, that's where that's been for. Son of a gun.
Nice he brought it back at least.
Yeah, it was kind of nice of him. Well, he doesn't destroy anything. He just likes to bury things. And he digs giant like traps.
Okay.
And then he kind of covers them up with stuff. And so like stuff just disappears for a while. He has like his favorite toys and you won't find them. And then you think it's gone. And then like a month later, it just appears and it's like the dirtiest, grossest thing ever. And it's just been hiding for a while.
Yeah.
So that was my morning. That's the closest thing I have to like my Taken. I haven't lost a kid or anything, but I did today briefly. I did lose for like 10 minutes. I thought I had lost my dog.
Yeah, that can be a little panic inducing.
Yeah. And then I just got to sit down and watch some day baseball, which was great. And baseball yesterday was fantastic. Are you coming around to the idea that the stagger day baseball is fantastic?
It works for me. I remember back when I was a fan living in a city where my team was playing that it was kind of lame to have to figure out how you're going to get to a game at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday because it was a national deal and it would have been better really for the entire fan base's fans if that game were sometime in the evening local. But this is working for me right now, yes.
Yeah, it's just, I love it. I love having that, even like late night. I mean, the Dodgers-Reds, you know, turned out to be, that was the one game that didn't matter. Turned out it was just like a home run slugfest. It was kind of fun to see Ohtani going yard. But other than that, the games were great. And the games today, again, we had more compelling games. Plus, we get Yankee fan freaking out, which is always fun. There is not a fan base that I enjoy more than Yankee fan when things don't go their way. I actually tuned in a little bit into Mad Dog Radio today.
Oh, yeah, that would be eventful.
Chris Russo, just to listen to Yankee fan freaking the hell out about Aaron Boone's decisions. So maybe we'll start there. Maybe we'll touch on what we saw from Major League Baseball last night. Plenty of stuff to get to, including, believe it or not, we have hot WNBA takes.
Which
I love.
Yeah.
I love when people, myself included, don't watch the WNBA, and yet we still have really opinionated.
And then it's in the news, and let me tell you what should be going on here.
I do have, and full transparency, I have not watched 1 second of WNBA basketball today, but I heard Sprague talking about this, mm-hmm. and I've actually seen some of the kind of the stuff going on, mm-hmm. the kerfuffle.
Yeah.
And it does feel like that league is careening towards something that is really, really bad.
Between now and when we do that, I'm going to try to pull some of that Nafisa Collier audio. There was a chunk in there that, boy, if the things she's saying about the commissioner of that league are true, that's pretty rough. And I've been with you mostly that, like, this whole pay us what we're worth, we think we should be paid like NBA players, like, that may not add up. But some of the stuff they're banging the drum about is a little bit alarming.
Yeah. It's It's interesting. And I do want to talk about where that league goes, because they're having a moment right now. And I do think it's worth a discussion. Is it a moment or is it a movement? Because moments come and go. Hockey had a moment for a while, and then it didn't.
It's like, is it ebbing and flowing, or is it climbing?
Yeah, I'm intrigued. And could there be something worse for an emerging sport than what feels like is about to happen this offseason for the WNBA? We have an update to the Oregon State NIL story that I thought was pretty interesting. Dirt and Sprague actually had the guy from Sportico
on. Yeah, they got him. I saw that.
This morning, so I think that was interesting. We got plenty of NFL news and notes, including no 4 Oregon Ducks starting quarterbacks. You know, that would have been a record, by the way.
I didn't know that.
We have not had 4 NFL quarterbacks starting from the same school in the same week.
Wow. And I would have thought that might have happened at some point, whether it was, I don't know, USC or, nope. I don't know, that's crazy.
And it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So we got some NFL stuff, some college football news, including what the hell, the U.S. Senate. So we'll talk about that. Plenty of stuff to get to on a Ropless edition of Primetime. And yes, do we have to go down to the Ice Building in protest to get Rop released? It's possible.
We might have to fight for Molly Tengies. We don't know.
We'll see what happens. But fingers crossed, hopefully is everything okay. Primetime rolls on when we come back here on 105.1 The Fan. Yankees and Red Sox underway game 2. And fun part about the wild card, you're already in elimination mode. I mean, it's best of 3. So when you get right down to it, I mean, we already had elimination games today. Now, Cleveland evened that series. Cleveland won 6-1 today against Detroit. San Diego just evened theirs up.
Yep, so we're getting a winner-take-all elimination in both of those.
Yeah, and now we got Boston, New York underway, and then Cincinnati and L.A. So obviously Cincinnati needs to win to extend that series. So when you go down 1-0 in these wild cards, I mean, it's huge. And last night, we had an epic meltdown on the part of the New York Yankees. And I don't view it as necessarily an epic meltdown from the team. I just think it was an epic meltdown from the fans. Watching Yankee Twitter last night as that thing went down, and then listening to New York radio today, like, I couldn't help. Like, the whole Mad Dog and New York radio, I just can't get behind. I don't know how people listen to that stuff, but hey, different strokes, right? Different folks. Same thing with like Paul Feinbaum. I don't get the caller driven shows where you listen to Legend and Phyllis. Hey, Paul. Roll Tide.
Let's go to George and Macon.
Yeah, and let's go to Stephen Long Island, by the way, and listen to what he had to say. So Max Fried is pitching for the Yankees, and things are going great, right? You're up 1-0. He's cruising along. He gets through 6 innings, and then he gets into the 7th. And Aaron Judge, by the way, just goes yard. That wasn't Aaron Judge. Was Aaron Judge on base?
He may have been on first.
I think they just showed Judge. I thought he hit it, but no, that was Ben Rice.
Okay. I'm
trying to see if that was a solo shot. Maybe they just showed Judge
on deck, perhaps?
Judge on deck or in the dugout. Either way, the Yankees take the lead. So Max Fried is cruising. So he gets into the 7th inning. He gets the leadoff batter to ground out. And Aaron Boone said, and he hadn't thrown 100 pitches, but it wasn't like he was, you know, it was 70. I think he was at like something like 90-something pitches. And Aaron Boone just said that he thought, no, it was a 2-run shot, so 2-0 Yankees. So he said he thought it was the control wasn't quite there, stuff wasn't quite as sharp, so he decides to go to the bullpen. So they go to Luke Weaver, who has not been lights out in the last handful of games, like the last month or two.
Their whole
season.
Bullpen has been pretty poor despite them trying to add to it.
Yes. And so they bring Weaver in, and he immediately walks a guy, gives up a double, and then a single. Thanks for coming. You're down 2-1. The Red Sox tack another run on later in the game. 3-1. Thanks for coming. I would also like to point out that the Yankees loaded the bases with no one out in the bottom of the 9th against Chapman and didn't get a single run across. So,
which I think was like historic in a loss to load the bases in the playoffs with nobody out and not push a single run across had like never happened before.
Yeah, so he ended up loading the bases, which, by the way, is going full Aroldis Chapman, by the way. Remember I mentioned the Drew Aller experience is 3/4 of kicking you in the balls, 1/4 of hope, and then
Or two plays where it all falls apart.
Yeah, and then kicking you in the nuts with a steel-toed boot.
Yeah.
That is the Drew Aller experience. The Chapman experience is indeed, it's like the old Mitch Williams for the Phillies. He will load the bases, and then he will either strike out the side or give up a grand slam. Like, there is no in-between. So he loads the bases, and Stanton comes up, gets a strikeout, and then there was a flyout, and then another strikeout. Thanks for coming. And I haven't heard one person freak out over the Yankees not being able to scratch a single run across after loading the bases with no one out, everyone's focusing on that Max Fried thing. And this goes back to the old adage, you know, in old-time baseball, the idea of taking a guy out that was cruising like that is ridiculous. It would never happen. Like, you don't take a guy out after, you know, 6 1/3 that has it going on. But in today's baseball, dude, this happens all the time. I mean, this analytics would tell you that when you get to the third time through the lineup, that it's beneficial to go to a bullpen. A bullpen, by the way, that you spent a lot of resources on. I mean, I remember when Terry Francona left Pedro Martinez in for too long. And no offense to Mac Fried, but Pedro Martinez at the time was the best pitcher in baseball. Remember that? They went out against the Yankees.
Yep.
And they left Pedro in.
Yep.
And Pedro ended up collapsing. And, yep. And he even said afterwards, he goes, yeah, I should have trusted my instincts.
And then he said, the Yankees are my daddies. That was the, yes. The famous quote afterwards.
Yeah, the Yankees are my daddies. And so I just love when we do this. We love to do this in sports where a manager can come out. Because here's the thing. Had he left Fried in and he'd been rocked, then we would have done that. Well, why didn't you go to the bullpen? You know, if you saw that he was slipping, why didn't you go? Managers can't win. We do this so often in sports, especially with fan bases like the Yankees.
It's a tightrope walk for anybody because no one's satisfied with either result. You let something good go on too long until it's ruined and you've done wrong. You pull something good too early and something bad happens. You pull the ripcord too early. You kind of can't win. But the managers that, I guess, go down in history are the ones that seemingly run into pushing the right buttons all the time?
Yes, because it is literally just results-based, right? If Weaver comes in and is fine, no one questions it. If Fried comes in or stays in and gets rocked, then we're going the other way. It's results-based. It 100% is, of course, right here. Boone's an effing idiot and should have been fired last night. Not playing Jazz and Rice was effing stupid. That's what I'm saying. Dave Roberts got murdered for years and years for being a bum. And then what did Dave Roberts do? He won 2 World Series. We'd love to do this. We'd love to do this with coaches. We'd love to do it with managers where we only go based on the criticism. And I'm not saying Aaron Boone is a great manager. I'm not saying Aaron Boone is a terrible manager.
He's caught some flack over the years for sure.
I would also like to point out that he had the Yankees in the World Series last year.
Yes, he did.
Just like Dave Roberts made deep runs, but because you couldn't win a World Series, now you're a bum. We do this in football all the time. We say James Franklin, right? James Franklin can't win big games. Or, you know, Dan Lanning. What has Dan Lanning ever won? We love to do that. And then once you kind of get over that hump, then everything is forgiven. But I just thought it was hilarious watching Yankee Twitter literally melt down. And I don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Boone. I mean, obviously, if the Yankees come back and win, then, like, all is forgiven. But if the Yankees somehow end up short, it will be Aaron Boone's fault. Because you can't fire players, and you can't fire ownership, and what it's going to come down to is you're going to need a fall guy, and it's going to be Aaron Boone. And this is why being a manager in baseball, because I think a manager in baseball honestly has less to do with the actual success in these big moments than any other sport. Like, NFL coaches have a massive impact. Hockey coaches, a massive impact. And yes, managers do have to pull strings every now and then.
Basketball coaches too, rotations, how long you leave a guy on the floor, how much rest you get him, foul trouble, all that.
But your GM in baseball has a much greater impact than what your manager
in baseball
does.
Now, with the way analytics are, there are some organizations that their GMs and analytics guys just hand the manager a binder and says, here's what you're doing this game with these pitchers from the other team on the mound. Here's how you set your lineup. Here's how you set your defense. You just go push the buttons.
But it's just, it's hilarious. Like I said, I don't root against necessary fan bases. But at the same time, it is kind of fun to watch certain fan bases melt down. And I don't think, I mean, check me if I'm wrong. Find me in any other sport. Find me a fan base that's funner to watch break down in real time than Yankee fan. I mean, Red Sox fan is fun, but it's not Yankee fan. I mean, watching Duke basketball melt, that's kind of fun. Cowboy fans, kind of fun. Stephen A. Smith has made an entire career out of taunting Cowboy fan. But for my money, there's nothing quite like Yankee tears in real time over something as arbitrary as, I knew it! He should have never pulled the pitcher! Mad Dog Russo almost had an aneurysm today over this one. Because we know definitively, I don't know if you know this, but every person in Staten Island knew exactly the string to pull last night.
Of course.
When to and when to not go to the bullpen.
Yeah, if Cashman had just given them the pinstripes and the clipboard, they would have figured things out. Now, of course, on the opposite of the agony of defeat is the thrill of victory. And I do now have some audio for us from the Red Sox side of things. Yeah. Because while Yankee fans were pretty hot, Red Sox fans were elated.
And you're saying this guy is now, he's Hogdale?
I think his last name is Hogdale, but he goes by Hogdale on Twitter. And upon this video going viral, Barstool's already like invited him to their live streams for the rest of the baseball season. So, it seems like he's a guy who has like a radio quality setup in his basement and just does play-by-play for every Red Sox game.
He's wearing a Red Sox jersey in his basement. And by the way, he looks like a guy who's doing a play-by-play call from his basement named Hogdale.
He does.
And this is his call in real time when Chapman strikes out the last batter in the bottom of the ninth.
Oh, I feel like my f***ing heart's going to explode. 2-2 pitch from Chapman. Swung on, he missed! He f***ing strikes him out! He gets out of it! And the Sox win game one! They win game one! The Yankees choke it! Chapman escapes! They win it 3-1! My f***ing c***! It's s***! Let's go.
Oh, Hogdale.
Unbridled joy.
Now, I will tell you this. If you know, like, we're now doing alternate broadcasts, like the Manning cast.
Sure,
and like for the national title, we do the coaches cast.
Yep.
I think for the World Series, although maybe not because of the Red Sox, but in all Red Sox playoff games, someone should have an alternate Hogdale cast.
I'm not opposed to it. I've said like for a long time, we got ESPN2 and then they joked around with the Ocho, and I would do an ESPNX where you could play for, have everything be uncensored. I don't think ESPN would ever want to do it for their brand. I think it'd be too damaging. But what if you just had like old, like former football players just letting it fly on a Red Zone broadcast? I would watch that.
Hogdale. Can I also say that telling someone to eat S is one of the best things. That insult needs to make a gigantic comeback. Just the eat S. Oh, Hogdale. And by the way, do yourself a favor and look up what Hogdale's got going on Twitter.
He's become a big deal now.
It is. Yes. He will make a Barstool. He will. This is the sort of thing that Barstool was made for.
Yep.
This is Dave Portnoy and company took one look at Hogdale, and Portnoy's a Red Sox guy.
Yes.
So he will be coming to a big cat broadcast near you very, very soon. Well, we'll see if the Yankees can push this to a game three, because there's nothing better than elimination games in baseball. And how awesome would it be if we had at least three of these going into tomorrow? And then we'll see what happens tonight with the Dodgers and Reds. When we come back, we'll switch gears a little bit and talk a little football or WNBA, perhaps. Maybe football, and then we'll get to the WNBA a little bit later. Because I don't necessarily have hot WNBA takes. I just feel like there's an inevitable car crash coming, and neither side seems at all concerned and doing anything to stop it. And I just don't get why a sport that's finally getting attention after a quarter century would want to do that. All that when we come back. Primetime here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We knew it was coming, the benching of Joe Flacco. The report was out, and once again, there is no team that is worse in the NFL that we talk about more than the Cleveland Browns.
That sounds right.
I've been doing this show for 23 years, and I hand to God, I don't think the Browns have ever been good, and yet we spend a disproportionate amount of times on Brown quarterback. I don't know what that is. But it's fascinating. They somehow...
Well, there have been a lot of them. You know, that one guy's got the jacket with all the custom patches on there? There's like 34 of them now since Kozar or whatever it was. Testaverde, maybe.
It's the only place, and it could only happen in Cleveland, where you sign like a 1,000-year-old quarterback that everyone knows isn't very good. The Cleveland Browns know he's not very good. Joe Flacco knows he's not very good. But by the way, kudos to Joe Flacco for getting paid.
Yep. He was sitting on his couch, came out of essentially a forced retirement to start playing again and earn himself another job.
What is Joe Flacco's contract for?
Ooh, I don't think it's for very much. I would have to check.
I'm going to take a look and see and what Joe Flacco got. Because that's guaranteed. Joe Flacco... Oh, that's disappointing. I thought it was for more than that. Yeah, it was about $3 million.
Yeah, I thought it was like four with incentives or something.
Still, Joe Flacco was sitting on his couch and was like, I could be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. And I wonder if deep down Joe Flacco's surprised he made it as many weeks as he did. But realize that you're going to play like four NFL games, they're going to give you $3 million, but none of the quarterbacks that are like behind you are any good either. So kudos to Joe Flacco. But now we're turning to Dylan Gabriel, and we thought for the first time we were going to have four starting quarterbacks the same week from the same school, but it doesn't look that way. I guess Jaden Daniels is a full go at practice, so he's going to start for the Commanders, and so we'll only have Marcus won't be starting. So we'll have three Oregon Ducks, which is impressive, but we've seen three, but we're not going to get the fourth. But the weird thing is with Dylan Gabriel, we're now starting for the first time, I believe, in NFL history. I would like someone to please tell me if this is incorrect, because I cannot. I literally sat there today and was racking my brain. There is a fifth round quarterback that got drafted in the fifth round, and we're having to have an active discussion on when the fifth round quarterback is going to be the starter, because he has to be the starter. It's never happened. In the history of the NFL, has anyone had a countdown clock on a fifth-round quarterback? And today they actually went and asked him about, you know, what he thought, and he went full mime.
That was so weird, so immature. I don't – if he's trying to talk or not talk his way out of this sport – you've established this plenty of times. He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL right now.
At least the Cleveland Browns don't think so.
If he were, he'd be starting for something, right? And so now you've said this before, no one wants a backup who's a headache at any position, especially the quarterback position. And if there's baggage and a media circus, and now you've got a guy who can't talk straight to the media and literally mimes or silently says his interview answers when asked about not being named the starter. Of course you weren't named the starter. Yeah. How hard would it be to say, you know what, it's my job to support Dylan as much as I can. I've been number three on this depth chart, and I'll be ready for my opportunity, but that's the best decision for this team right now. How hard would that be?
It's just shocking to me how idiotic this whole situation has been handled. And I thought after the preseason that maybe this would have died down. But here we are. Cleveland's not very good. Flacco gets benched. Dylan Gabriel gets inserted. And the conversation is not Dylan Gabriel. The conversation is how long until Shedeur Sanders is the starter.
Right.
First off, how disrespectful is that to Dylan Gabriel? Whatever you think of Dylan Gabriel, he was a third round pick. Maybe he's the starter. Maybe he's not. He's going to get, I would assume, a decent amount of runway here. He was drafted two rounds ahead of Shedeur Sanders. Clearly, the Cleveland Browns think something of him. He is clearly the number two quarterback on this depth chart, and yet we're still trying to actively force the Shedeur Sanders thing to happen. And in the last 2 weeks, here's someone that has come out and said that he believes he's better than starting quarterbacks in the NFL. He was asked today what he feels about not being named the starter, and like you said, he mimed answers.
It was so strange. Like the fact
it's bizarre.
You'd be better off just ducking the reporters and getting out of the locker room before they come in. And we've seen athletes do that in every sport. If you don't want to talk, there's ways to do it. But choosing to openly and outwardly act and not talk just puts a whole new spotlight and magnifying glass on the situation. Cleveland management's got to be pissed.
You cannot be a distraction and be a third-string quarterback. You can't be a distraction and be a backup quarterback. There's a reason why people didn't want Tim Tebow. There's a reason why they didn't want Cam Newton. Joe Flacco got brought in, and I get it. Joe Flacco wasn't any sort of answer there at Cleveland, but they didn't have an answer. And Flacco was a pro that was going to shut his mouth and go out and see what you had. But there's a reason why Flacco was there and someone like Cam Newton wasn't. You can't have a distraction. And that family, who by all accounts is a pretty good family, right? They stay out of trouble. They're not, you know, I got nothing against the Sanders, but my God, is that a masterclass? I would also like to point out, this is the same family that it has been confirmed, told teams like the Baltimore Ravens, do not draft me because I don't want to be a backup. By the way,
yeah, they thought the path to being a starter was the easiest in Cleveland or of the least resistance. That doesn't make you a starting quality quarterback.
And by the way, if you were there right now, you'd be starting in Baltimore because
or at least you would hope you could beat out Cooper Rush.
Yeah, it is. It's bizarre. It is absolutely bizarre the way that this has gone down and continues to go down. And I hope that Dylan Gabriel gets a fair shake. I would assume that when you go to him as a third round quarterback, I would assume that there's a fairly long leash here, but it does kind of stink that you fought really hard and were a really good quarterback for a long time in college. Certainly a more accomplished quarterback than anything Shedeur Sanders did. Dylan Gabriel is one of the better college quarterbacks, you know, starting that we've seen in the last 15 or 20 years. Heisman Trophy finalist, huge numbers at three different schools.
And the Browns liked him so much, they kept their communication with him really quiet. They took him out to dinner in Eugene. They didn't bring him in for one of their official visits because they didn't want other people to know. So, like, he was their guy, and now he gets essentially stuck with this drama and this outside noise behind him that you hope won't affect his tenure there, but certainly, I guess, has the possibility to.
Yeah. Oh, also, too, that Sanders also told the Eagles. It was confirmed. He didn't want to go play for the Eagles, and he didn't want to go play for the Ravens. By the way, two of the better organizations in football. One is a Super Bowl contender every year. The other one has won Super Bowls. You didn't want to learn in either one of those offenses?
No. Pretty amazing.
No, we wanted to go to Cleveland and now we're upset that we're in Cleveland and now we're miming answers. It's just, I want to pull for the kid, but God, that family and himself, it makes it hard.
They do make it hard sometimes.
And I'd be interested to know what the people of Cleveland think.
Yeah. And also, was that something that someone put in his ear that they thought would be funny, or is that all him? Is that just Shedeur and his personality? Because someone needed to tell him that was not a good idea.
No. Again, when you are the backup and, God forbid, you're the third-string quarterback, you just shut up. It's all you can do. Trust me. I'm not saying I was Shedeur Sanders, but I was a second and a third-string player in the NFL, and guess what I got to do all the time? Shut up. It was, and anytime I did have a moment where my mouth was open, guess what I was told? Yeah, shut
you
want
to be here, you'll shut up.
Yes. I still remember one time I got into a fight with Simeon Rice. And
fight with Simeon Rice, you're gone, Sakanic.
Rod Marinelli. pulled me aside, grabbed me by the face mask and said, "Do you know who that is?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Do you know who you are?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "He's somebody." "Yeah. And you are?" And I went, "Nobody." And he said, "Yeah. Touch him again. See what happens." And I was like, oh.
It's about as clear as it gets.
Yeah. Turns out, if Simeon Rice hits you and you're me, you don't get to hit back.
You just take it.
That was when I learned that lesson. I was like, ah, you know that every coach loves to do the old, like everyone's equal and no one's above. Turns out, no.
Not the case.
Not the case. If someone cheap shots you from behind and you turn around and start swinging at them, not a good idea when you have a name that no one can pronounce. And the other guy, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. So just maybe a page. You're the third string quarterback. Just shut up and wait your turn. And by the way, if Dylan Gabriel isn't very good, your opportunity will come.
Yes, and so you don't need to play stupid games about it. Just sit there and wait and be patient and go to work.
Or go look at guys like Aaron Rodgers. Go look at guys like Jordan Love that actually sat for a year or two in really good organizations, learned how to play the position, and guess what happened eventually? They got to be the quarterbacks of really, really good teams.
Yeah, and they were pretty good when they got there because they waited.
Yeah, so it's a shocking development. There's an absolute dumpster fire happening there in Cleveland. We come back, a dumpster fire on the hardwood that isn't local, by the way, so that's kind of fun, although it does have a little bit of a local spin to it. Primetime here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
2-2 now in the Bronx. The Red Sox have tied it up.
Yeah, got some action early in this one.
Yeah. I'll get to the WNBA thing at the top of the hour. We're up against it. Someone also pointed out, too, that Patrick Mahomes sat for a year.
Yep.
So
behind Alex Smith, right?
Behind Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Just saying, Sanders family, it's not the worst thing in the world to go to. I'll tell you right now, if I'm Cam Ward right now, and you're in maybe the worst situation in the NFL, the Titans are ass.
They're horrible. And he has said as much.
I do believe the exact quote was, "We're ass."
We're ass right now. Four games in, we are ass.
Yeah. Spencer Rattler in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a little bit different. He wasn't drafted to be the starting guy. But, you know, whatever it was, whether it's Chuck, Rattler. If I'm Cam Ward or if I'm, you know, Jackson Dart or whatever, I know everyone wants to play. But this idea to go to a bad organization and get thrown into the fire right away, or go to a good organization where I know I may have to sit for 2 or 3 years and learn. And I know the competitor in you wants to get right on the field. It really, unless you are just the finished product of finished products, I'm telling you, man, you are much better off going and learning behind a vet and learning in a good system and getting some stability under your feet. And that's not what competitors want to hear, but it's true. It is absolutely true. You look at the number of people that have been damaged. I'd even say this, like you look at a guy like Trevor Lawrence right now that's in year 5, uh-huh. And I know Jacksonville's after a good start. I don't know if you've watched Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence ain't lighting the world on fire.
No.
Kyler Murray is not lighting the world on fire. And these are guys that came in with a lot of hype and they ended up in bad situation. Now, hopefully like Liam Coleman there and now in Jacksonville can stabilize that a little bit.
Well, we talk with him every week. Joey Harrington's an example of
yes.
this.
Yes. You're telling me as frustrating as it would have been to go someplace and sit, that wouldn't have been better for Joey. That wouldn't have been better for Bryce Young. Bryce Young ended up on a team from an organizational standpoint that has no sense of it top to bottom. And Bryce Young, by the way, is about to get sat down
yep.
again.
Yep.
Because it's you know, last year there was a brief glimpse of something good happening. And now it's turned into a disaster again, one of the worst teams in the league. And Bryce Young is about to find himself thrown to the curb. Zach Wilson about to be thrown to the curb. And I have no idea if this would have worked out better for any of those players. But if I'm a college quarterback and I do end up sliding in the draft, I get it. You want to be a top 5 pick, and if you go in the top 5, chances are you're going to go to a bad team. But if I'm not going to be a top 5, top 10 pick, and I'm going to go in the back half of the first round, or God forbid you slide to the second or third round, I want nothing to do with going to a team where I'm going to be competing for the starting job. I just don't.
Well, Lamar Jackson was like that. He slid all the way back to the last pick of the first round of the Ravens. Yep. Look where that landed him.
Yes. And he ended up with a good organization.
Yep, that would groom him and make him ready for the job and be surrounded by a great team.
You one of these guys that just is just kicking and fighting to get someplace because you want to get onto the field. Dude, this ain't college. You know, people ask all the time, like, is Dan Lanning going to the NFL? First off, I don't think he's going.
I don't get the sense he is either.
But here's the thing. I have no idea if Dan Lanning is going to would be a good NFL coach. I have no idea we do know now, a guy like Nick Saban that took a crack. You know the biggest difference between college and the NFL? And a lot of people will tell you that it's about relating. It's can your message resonate with young men versus grown men, right? And then people say, well, he looks like a young Dan Campbell. Here's the difference. You know what we don't know if Dan Lanning can do? Win without superior players.
Yeah.
In college, you get to pick your players.
His roster is better than his opponent's roster almost every week.
Maybe twice a year. Maybe. He has to go against a team that's comparative to him. Penn State is not as talented as Oregon. It's not. It's competitive with him, but it's not as good. And then when he plays Ohio State, maybe Ohio State's the one team that the roster is actually going to be better than. When you get to the NFL, Everyone has a loaded roster. And guess what you also don't get to do in the NFL? You don't get to go find a new quarterback every year. You don't get to go from Bo Nix to Dylan Gabriel to
Just a new quarterback every year, a new good quarterback every year.
So it's just like you just never know. The hardest thing about going from college to the NFL is you don't get to pick your players. A GM does it for you. And you don't get to go get the very best ones. So that's just not the way it works. And so this idea that you're fighting to get on the field like so soon with bad organizations, I'm not certain what that is.
And is that
I don't know if Jackson Dart's going to end up being good.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, the situation he's in New York right now with that offensive line and now no Malik Nabers and seemingly Brian Daboll that wants to treat him the way that Daniel Jones was treated. How did that work out for Daniel Jones?
Not well. He got run out of town on a rail, and it turns out he was actually probably could have been pretty good if they'd done it differently.
So we're all loving what Jackson Dart has going on right now. 4 games in, it's like, hey, here we go, and you have a big win against the Chargers. I'm telling you, the way they're going to use him, I'm not certain if this is going to end up being a good experience for Jackson Dart. He was sacked 6 times in that game. He was hit multiple others, and most of what he was doing was one-step reads, get rid of the ball, or making plays with his legs.
Scramble.
See?
Yeah.
Daniel Jones. And that's not a recipe for long-term success. Robert Griffin III had a great rookie year. Vince Young, by the way, was rookie of the year. And what did it end up doing for you? bad organizations with bad coaching and not structure around you leads to poor play.
Yep.
Shedeur Sanders and that Browns op, be careful what you wish for.
Mm-hmm.
If Dylan Gabriel plays poorly in these next 2 weeks or 3 weeks,
he'll get a crack.
You may get a crack.
And it might not be pretty.
And it might not be pretty. And as the fifth round pick, you may not get another one. You know, for some of those guys, whether it's, you know, Cam Ward or Zach Wilson, whatever, Baker Mayfield, when you're one of those top 5 or 10 picks, you can get another crack somewhere. Justin Fields got multiple opportunities, right? Fields didn't work out in Chicago, didn't work out in Pittsburgh. By the way, it's not working out with the Jets. But if you're Shedeur or you're Dylan Gabriel, you probably get one crack. For Dylan Gabriel, he is going to get a 4 to 5 game stretch where that's it. If Dylan Gabriel cannot prove that he is a starting quarterback, by the way, in really rough circumstances with the Browns, he's probably done ever getting a look at being a starting quarterback.
He's a permanent backup until injury forces him back into it at some point later.
And so be careful. Just be careful for Shedeur Sanders for wanting to play.
And again, that you're talking about a guy in Gabriel who doesn't have any baggage, who everyone likes as a team guy, that doesn't hog any of the spotlight and is seemingly a great teammate. Now, you apply that same, you maybe get 4 or 5 games to a Shedeur Sanders who also carries all that baggage. Good luck, man.
Yeah. But I get it. The competitors, we want on the field. I've been good my whole life. So what do you say? Everywhere I go, I ball out. Everywhere. Well,
see you do it in Cleveland.
We all ball out till we don't, right? Exactly. Do it in Cleveland. Because over the last 30 years, not many people have balled out in Cleveland. What?
No.
Like Baker Mayfield, right? That's
kind of. And they even, people thought they ruined him too, until he got another crack somewhere else.
Exactly. Even Baker Mayfield looks really good in Tampa.
He had to go to Carolina first before he go to
Carolina
Tampa.
And then the Rams,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
And now in Tampa Bay, and now has had his resurrection. So I wish the best for all these guys. I just think sometimes you need to take a long-term approach to your career as opposed to short-term gratification. Speaking of short-term gratification, we will talk about a hardwood situation that does seem to have some short-term success right now, but are they heading for a long-term disaster? Primetime rolls on when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.